It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about our issues, Lord. It's not about our problems, Father. It's all about your plan, O God. It's all about your love, O Lord. It's all about your goodness, O God. It's not about our needs, Lord. It's not about our problems, Lord. It's about you, Lord. This is all our lives, everything we are in, everything we're going through. It's all your story, Lord. You're doing it. You're bringing it to pass. You're showing the world who you really are, Lord. And we're so glad that we get to be a part of it.
Yes.
We get to be part of it, Lord. That's so beautiful.
Yes.
That we're part of your story.
Yes.
We get to be part of your history. Hallelujah. His story, your story, Lord. We're blessed. We're so blessed. We're so privileged that we get to play a small part. Lord, as your prophet said, that it wasn't a picture of me. I just happened to be there when his picture was taken. Lord, we just happen to be here when you're manifesting. We just happen to be here when you're coming, Lord, when you're arriving. We just happen to be here, oh God, alive and remade. Hallelujah. And when you're doing something so great, so tremendous, your great, amazing, outstanding plan that you've had from eternity unfolding before our very eyes, and we are playing a part. How wonderful that is. Bless the people, we pray, Father God, as we go to your word, we ask that the word will become life, and the life will become you in us manifesting once more. Do it, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. What a blessing it is to be here today, amen. It's good to be part of God's family, and also to know that we who live in the Northeast, you know, we get to experience winter, we get to experience spring, we get to have fall, we get to have hot summers, you know, we get it all. We get Florida weather, we get Canadian weather. Thank you, Canadian brothers and sisters, appreciate you guys coming, bringing the weather with you. We get, you know, we get all kinds of stuff, you know, all kinds of weather. And even though people have stolen our idiom, our little phrase that we use, you know, you go to Alaska and they use it, and it's like, that's a joke. That's snow all the time. But if you don't like the weather, just wait a little while and it'll change. That's New England. That started with the colonies. That's how far back that goes. So if you go somewhere else like Florida and they say, oh, if you don't like the weather, that's bogus. You know, we have weather change. That's where it happens. Amen. So I want you to take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 8 in verse 28. And we're just going to address a little thought this morning that I trust will be beneficial to all of you. Amen. Looks like the other half of the church will get here an hour later. Is that how this is going to be this morning? They should have been here an hour. Oh, they got here an hour early and said, oh, it's closed. They went home and got back in bed. That's right. I forgot about spring forward. I can throw you off. No, I'm just teasing. God is good. Let's just read this verse from Romans 8:28. This ought to be inscribed in your home on the walls. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to speak this morning on the synergy of serendipity. I'll give you a little bit of background because it's a little bit of a mouthful for some of you, I suppose. But synergy, as you know, it's simply where you can take two things that work together well, so well, it's as though it's one. But also, it is the result of when you've got a team of two or more that work together so well, they're doing actually the work of so much more than what they are able to do. So they're doing more than, they're worth more, their value is more than the sum of the composite parts. Putting them together makes it so much more amazing. So if you take the example of the horses, I've shared that with you before. One horse can pull, let's say, 1,000 pounds of bricks. Two horses pulls 3,000 pounds. Jesus or God gave the example, one of you will send 1,000 enemy to flight, two of you will send 10,000. So it creates this exponential result of strength by putting two together. How many understands that two is better than one? The Bible even says a threefold cord cannot be easily broken. So the idea of synergy is together, energy, you get energy, it's from work, working together for a greater result. Serendipity is the phenomenon of finding valuable things not sought after. It's just like, how many's ever experienced stumbling on something and being kind of blown away? Wow, I was looking for that. I didn't even know that was there. How many's ever experienced that? I've heard somebody one time give a good talk about it's not getting to the end, but it's the journey. And he spoke about all the blessings and the surprises along the way, and started sharing his story of how he came to the point where he was at in his life and all the little things that happened along the way. Amen? Do you realize that your salvation is a journey? It's your story. It's your life. And along the way, there are things that are going to happen that you did not expect, you weren't looking for, but they're blessings.
Amen.
And they're amazing. And you just realize how good God is and how loving God is because of all those great things. So the synergy of serendipity. It's the behind-the-scenes working of God to provide for you things you're not even looking for, but they're of inestimable value in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. How many parents here can say, my children were serendipitous? I was not expecting anything, and all of a sudden, I've got kids. No, God has a plan. Doesn't matter what you think is going to happen, what you plan to happen. How many realizes as a believer, God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. And so it all happens for his reasons, and we're all blessed under that. So this is a little bit of a story I've shared with you before, but there was a time when I was invited to preach at the church up in Canada. And they invited me to come preach, and I had two services lined up and two sermons I had lined up. One was called Show Me Your Face, and one was called Repairing the Altar. And so I had these two messages for the morning and the afternoon service, and I had planned on the to bring a copy of the song Show Me Your Face by Paul Wilbur, who was part of Israel's Hope. They're Messianic Jews who are beautiful singers and wrote music. Well, Paul Wilbur is one of the ones that writes a lot of the music, but he did this song called Show Me Your Face, and it's based on the story of Moses called up to the mountain. He said to God, if I found favor in your sight, show me your glory. You remember that? And then God says, okay, you can see my glory, but you can't see my face. No man can see me and live. And so the whole story unfolds in the Bible where Moses actually experiences God's presence in a greater way than he already had. And he actually sees God's hand, God's back part. He sees things about God. He starts realizing that God is a real being, a real person. Amen? But this whole song is written based on that, because as New Testament believers, we want to be able to go beyond and see God's face. You know, no man can see God and live. And I think if you really understand it, that's kind of the whole point. That's why Jesus starts saying you need to be born again. That means the old man needs to see God in the sense you're going to die to your old self and come be born again of a new self. So it's all good. So Show Me Your Face, I had taken and recorded it on a CD and stashed it away, because 2 months later I'd be traveling by car to Canada to preach those two sermons. And halfway to Canada, it dawned on me that I forgot the CD. My idea was to bring it and hand it to the young people or the choir leader or whoever and say, hey, can the young people learn this in French and sing the song in French? Because I think it would be beautiful. But anyway, halfway up, I realized, forgot the CD. And you know what you do when something doesn't work out? I guess that's not going to happen. But I was sitting there in the Sunday morning service, sitting there in the office preparing, and you could hear the worship going over the speaker there. And I was like, Lord, why am I struggling so much with which message do I preach first? You know, like, do I preach Repair the Altar, or do I preach Show Me Your Face? And as I'm sitting there, it dawns on me, the young people are singing, and the song they're singing in French is Show Me Your Face.
Amen.
That's an example of serendipity. I want you to know that this God that we serve is not in the business of managing our sin and managing our issues and managing. He's in the business of serendipity. He loves to bless us. We're just so caught up in our issues, we don't even see half of it. But he's over there behind the scenes having fun. And he just wishes we could start enjoying life. That these things that we get to have, we get to experience in life, are coming from Him. He has so much that He wants to pour out on us. He wants to put those things along the way. I understand as a Christian, the way is narrow. The gate is straight, right? So the way is narrow, the gate is straight. I understand that. But God knows that if you've made the commitment to draw nigh unto Him, because He's already drawn nigh to you, and you're coming toward Him, if you've made that commitment and you're on a very difficult, narrow pathway just to get to the very straight gate, He's going to bless you along the way. You will have failings, you will have fallings, but He's going to lift you up. He's going to use those things for something better in your life along the way. Does that make sense? So I want you to just kind of, I want to kind of help you here as much as I can. And basically what I want to say to you is this. Serendipity happens. It does. It happens. You know, in this world, people say garbage happens, bad things happen. I mean, people are so negative. But for believers, we ought to stand out a little bit as being super positive. Good things happen. Good things happen. I remember the song by the old black colored, I don't remember what his name was, but he used to sing this song, and he'd say, every time I turn around, there's another blessing to run me down. You know, he was happy to be alive and be a Christian and be serving God because he felt like his life was just one blessing after another. Now, sometimes the running down part's a little hard, but the blessing comes right behind it, right? Another blessing to run me down. So think about that for a minute. Serendipity. It is something that you all can reflect back and start thinking, you know what, that's true. This happened and it's so amazing. I didn't expect it. That happened and it was a blessing in my family and my life. I wasn't looking for it. You know, a lot of times, sometimes we live life kind of measuring all the good we do and maybe some of the bad, and we try to focus on, you know, maybe all the good things happening in my life because I'm doing good things. There's a lot of good happening in your life. Let's start with salvation. What did you do to gain salvation? Didn't we all kind of do the wrong things? We ended up being blessed with salvation. I love the way Brother Branham gives a perfect example. He says, you know, it's like, you know, you didn't even know what happened to you. One day you staggered into a mission somewhere and you flopped over the altar and you didn't even know what was going on in your life and you got saved. He said, how did that even happen? He said it was God. God was doing it. God behind the scenes bringing you to something you really needed, but you didn't even know where it was. And so I'm going to ask you a question that kind of frames where we're going with this morning, and that is, do you know, are you certain that all things are going to work out all right? Are you absolutely sure? Are you certain? Every day, are you feeling everything is going to work out okay? Now, if we want to be really honest, there's times when you wonder if things are going to work out okay. I think a lot of us have the idea that, yeah, I know, all things in the end are going to work out fine. Jesus is going to come back. We're all going to go in a rapture. There's going to be resurrection. That's what you're thinking. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you wake up in the morning, do you feel like your 24-hour day that you just entered is going to be okay? It's going to be all right. That's where you're getting a little quieter on me, because that's where it's harder. Well, day to day, you never know. We could have good days, bad days, ups, downs. I can't say that every day is going to work out okay. But if you remember, Paul is trying to make this very clear to us. And there's a story in the Bible where Martha tells Jesus, yes, I know Lazarus would raise, because she had just said, if you'd been here, you would not have died. And Jesus said something, and she says, I know he's going to raise in a resurrection when you come and all this stuff. And Jesus was trying to rein her in from some future expectation. You know, my life's going to be horrible until Jesus comes. That's our thinking. That's our thinking. That's what a lot of people think. And then finally, you know, but Jesus said, nope. He pulled her back. He says, look, you're looking to the future. You're looking to when I come in the kingdom. But I'm telling you, I am now, presently, the resurrection and the life. I am your hope. I am your expectation. And when all hope is gone, when everything is lost, that's when I'm here. That's when it's important. Right now, today, I am the one. That's what Jesus is wanting to make sure we get. We get to hold his hand through through the ups and the downs, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything you're going to go through in life, we get to have him right by our side. And there's a purpose in everything. Watch. We'll see how this follows along. Just pay attention. All things, he says, not just the important things, all things are working out for good for you, no matter what it is. You might be struggling with that being all in the same sentence, all things and good. Not all things are good, Brother Elijah. I just want to announce to you. There's another scripture that actually commands us to thank God for everything because it's his will. That's all in one breath, too. There's some pretty scary scriptures if you start to really think about it, because we struggle. As soon as something negative happens, we start down spiraling. Oh no, here we go again. Oh boy, this is going to be rough. You know, not having a good day, not having a good experience. My boss has a bee in his bonnet or something. You know, we always start blaming the stuff around us because I started out great. It's so surprising to me how many times people are having a bad day, you know, and I'll ask the simple question, did you pray this morning? Oh, oops. Yeah, I kind of forgot. You know, that's no different than brushing your teeth and putting on clothing before you got out in your car. You got to have armor on. You can't go out and fight in a battle with no armor. You're going to get killed. You're going to get wounded. Put the armor on and then face your day. And that's a lot of times what people struggle with. They're not doing the first things first. The Bible's very clear. All things work together for your good. Now are you going to say amen?
Amen.
Do you believe that for today? Do you know what's going to happen in the next hour, 2 hours, 5 hours? You really don't, do you? But you try to live your life careful that you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't do this and you don't make this mistake and don't make that mistake, because you don't want things to go negative, right? So you're trying to manage your life. There's going to have to come a time when you as Christians realize you're not in charge. Yes, you do something, but you're not fully in charge. God is. He's got plans, and part of those plans are they're just not going to be, I wish I could put an overhead on. At some point, we're going to start using things so you can see, you can watch, because I think it's powerful. But there's this thing that Myrna found. I don't know if she sent it to any of you. She sent it to me, and it says, or she showed it to me, and it says, this is our plan. And it shows a guy on a bike going from point A, and then the little checkered flag is just right there. You know, he's just got to ride his bike to the checkered flag on nice flat ground. And then it says, this is your plan. And just below that it says, this is God's plan. It's got hills, it's got valleys, it's got a bunch of trees laying in the way, it's got lakes and rivers, you know, it's got all kinds of animals. I mean, you got to go like this, and like this, and you're going a little, you're still going to get from A to B, but you got to go, but you're going to end up going God's plan, because God's got a plan. And it's for your good. Amen? And now, a lot of times we say, well, I know, it builds character in me and all that stuff, but I'm gonna share a few things with you to help you understand a little bit better. Look, it's not just the important things. And let me say this, that this hopefully will stick with you in your minds. What you believe, you receive. How many can just say that? What I believe, I receive. Whatever you believe, you receive. What you doubt will come about. What you doubt will come about. What you fear will appear. This makes it easy to remember these, right? What you doubt, what? What you fear will appear. It's easy. What you believe, you receive. What makes you worry, expect in a hurry. Worry is just fear on steroids. So what makes you worry, expect. Ah, that's right. That helps you, doesn't it? You guys didn't know I was a poet. Believing, doubting, fearing, worrying, trusting, imagining, all these things that you can do, that you do, are all forms of expecting. Does that make sense? It's really the key thing, expecting. It's the principle that you can live by and understand, because you're already living by it. And that is, expect what you're expecting. Expect what you're expecting. Serendipitous living is that it's basically a life that it's actually so much fun, hallelujah, to expect good things. How many are guilty here, and how many know someone who's guilty? Let's point to someone else, because you don't want to point to yourself. So just kind of go like this if you want to, or like this. You can just turn your eyes a little bit. But how many here know somebody who constantly is worried about this happening or that happening? Something bad around the corner. Right? We all kind of know somebody. Huh. I remember in the Boy Scouts, I learned something, and actually, my brother Mark might remember this, but I had a fantastic teacher named Mr. Pearly, and he taught this, maybe stole it from the Boy Scouts, but he always said, expect the unexpected. Expect, and he meant it in a way that, you know, you think about what might happen, could happen, and stuff like that, so you kind of prepare yourself a little bit. And if any of you follows this principle, you're going to be very similar to my wife, to Myrna, because she wins all the rewards for having everything in her purse. She literally has everything in her purse. Everything and the kitchen sink. Yeah, she has that in her purse. She probably has Ben and Jerry's everything but in her purse. Ice cream, because that's one of her favorites. Hallelujah, isn't that exciting? Whenever I need something, I forgot it. It's not in my stuff, so I just ask her, and sure enough, she has it right in her purse. It's amazing. Forget about Mary Poppins reaching down and pulling out all kinds of things. This is what she's able to do. And sometimes we live that life of trying to prepare and be ready for the unexpected because we never know when something's going to happen. But I want to turn it around from a negative. It's, you know, I understand the whole idea of the old ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I get all that part. But I want to change that a little bit. Let's expect, in fact, let's make this what we love doing, expecting unexpected good things. I'm expecting a surprise today. How about this? This morning you woke up and you struggled with the time and all this stuff, but really this morning was Christmas. It was your birthday. Every morning, every day is Christmas. Every day is your birthday. Every single day, God has a blessing that he's going to run you down with. You might miss it because you might have went off trail, got off track. But he's got something planned. So I want us to just kind of change our mindset and think about that. Expect the unexpected. In a good way. Going back to our verse of scripture here, Romans chapter 8, the anointed apostle is speaking with absolute assurance. And he's speaking in an inclusive way by saying, and we know. Did you catch that at the very beginning? And we know. I mean, he's making an announcement that he wants us, he's pulling us in with him. We know. This is a common knowledge thing. We know, and we know. Watch what happens here. The word and in original Greek is actually the word but. It means on the other hand. All right, so I want you to think about that. He's saying, but we know. Or on the other hand, there's something we know. There's something we can be assured of. Hallelujah. There's something that we all are aware of. This conjunction, what it does is it signifies that there's a sentence previous to this one we're reading that's connected. It's a conjunction that he's using, but we know. But I've just shared something with you, but there's something here that is counterbalancing. Watch carefully how this works. We're going to find out what the counterbalance is. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 26, and verse 27, because we want to understand what is Paul counterbalancing. What is on the other hand, right? So we go back there and we begin in verse 26 because it's all one thought. And he says, likewise, the Spirit also joins in to assist us. I know you, what do you have there in the Greek there? I think it helps. The Holy Spirit helps. The Spirit helps us. But he says the Spirit, the amazing Greek word there is actually to join in and to lend a strong and helping hand. So he joins in to powerfully assist us in our weaknesses. Powerful words. Hallelujah. He joins in to assist us in our weakness. It's really singular weakness. We have a weakness. But listen to this. The Greek word translated weakness here is actually expressing the result of weakness. Which would, in other words, it would be speaking of the incapability brought on by a weakness, a handicap. You could actually translate that, he assists us in our handicap. How many realizes that's true? We all have weaknesses that end up producing handicaps. There's things that we just can't do. You can think of different things that people ask you, and you go, I can't do that. So that's what that means, a handicap. So what is this handicap? Here it is. As Paul is structuring his thoughts, he's saying he's going to assist us in our weakness. And then he goes on, for we do not know, hallelujah, what we should pray as needed. This is the language of what he's doing. He's connecting weakness with what we do not know. Weakness, we do not know. That's a weakness. There's a weakness when you don't know something. You know, knowledge is power. Knowledge is strength. The Bible says that for lack of knowledge, my people perish. The people just have experience negativity because it's negative because it's weakness, but weakness is producing. What is the handicap? We don't know. We're unable to know something. Know what? What to pray as we should. What is needed to be prayed for? Sometimes we think we know what we're praying for, but we really don't know. That's a weakness. There's a counterbalance we're looking for. There it is. You see it? We do not know. Here he's saying, we do not know. And then we get to verse 28, and he says, however, on the other hand, we do know. There's something we don't know, and there's something we do know. Now, for our weakness, the Holy Spirit's helping us. And we can go on and read a little bit about that. Let's just do that, and then we'll keep moving. So verse 26, we do not know. Verse 28, on the other hand, we know. I love this. Our weakness or handicap is not knowing. Not knowing how to pray, how to plan, how to wish, how to expect. It's amazing the word prayer and pray is the same. It's a stronger version of the word to wish. How many's ever said, I wish this would happen, I wish. Wishing is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But when you add the part to this that turns it into prayer, it means you're taking your wishes and you're focusing them toward one person, one direction, one target, and that's Almighty God. And you're giving him your wishes, as it were. And he's understanding that you're trusting him. And we do the best we can when we pray. Watch what happens here. It says, however, the Spirit itself intercedes for us, right? We have a weakness. We do not know. We do not know what to pray as needed. However, the Spirit itself intercedes for us with inexpressible groans. Don't you love that? You have the Holy Spirit that's actually constantly interceding for you, praying for you. How many's ever felt groanings in your life? Remember earlier I told you that we're, as Christians, we're on a narrow path toward a straight gate. You know, the word straight there is a very similar word to this word that we pulled out, groaning. And we, how many understand? We groan within ourselves. We groan in our bodies. These bodies cause us to groan, don't they? Same word. It's the same word, and it's pulling out of the same thing. So the narrow path and the straight gate that we're on is causing us to groan. And it's doing that on purpose. God has this beautiful plan that the things that don't belong, the things that we can't carry with us into the rapture, have to be knocked off. Does that make sense? They have to depart from us. They have to come off. And it hurts. But it's good. It's okay. It's good. It's beautiful. So our weakness or handicap is not knowing. And that's why we're learning, you know, thank God for the Holy Spirit. We don't know how to pray, what to pray, how to plan, how to wish, how to believe. And it's the Holy Spirit that's in us teaching us. It's okay. You have to go through this. It's okay. This is temporary. It's okay. There's some greater thing this is going to produce. It'll produce patience, yes. It'll produce all those things, but there's something really great that it's going to produce. So now Paul says, now we know. The word but we know or now we know, it could be used that way. Now we know. The sense of the word to know is something that is well known. Paul is saying, but we all know this well. What do we know well? Let's get into it. That all things. Oh my, maybe this needs to be preached more often because we act like we don't know this very well. It doesn't matter about this part and the fact that we have a weakness or a handicap and the fact that we don't know how to pray for what we are, what is really needed. We think we do, but we really don't. It's the Holy Spirit that takes care of that. Thank the Lord. But we really don't. And we have a lack of a knowledge where we really need it, but we don't have it. And we trust God again there because he's behind the scenes in areas we don't know. There are things that are off your radar that you are not aware of, that are not necessarily good or bad. There's good and bad, but you don't need to. Imagine if you could know everything, know all of your whole life, how it's all going to be. I mean, you would plan your prayer accordingly. All right, when I get closer to that disease, I'm going to really start praying. And God is not going to give that to you because he's God and you're not. He's infinite and you're not. We would lose our mind. So he's teaching us that you're not going to rely on what you can know about your weakness, your lack of knowledge, and your need to know to pray better. Yes, we want to improve all that, but we're thankful because we can never fire the Holy Spirit. He's got his job. He's in your life. That's what's working for you more than you even know it. Amen? But we have to understand that there is something that we all know well, and that is all things work together for my good. It's generic. All things. That pretty much covers it. What if it's something bad, Brother Elijah? It works for your good. What if it's something amazing like God gives me $1 million and I don't know if I can handle $1 million. Right now $1 million is like peanuts. But it's for your good. You don't decide that. He's already decided it. Let's go a little bit further, amen? Not some things, not just important things, all things. Amen. Just embrace it. Just accept it. All things are for your good. Don't you feel better already? Don't you already feel better? It's like, oh, because we live such a resistance life. Oh, I better avoid that. Or we even put that curse on each other. I do it too. I'm guilty. When somebody goes out the door, be careful, be safe. I mean, we're trying to, it is a nice statement, but really, what are you saying to somebody? You're saying live a very kind of a scared, worried, and it just means don't make dumb moves, don't be stupid, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's what we're thinking. But the bottom line is, we should just say, be blessed. Do well. God be with you. You're going to be amazing. Just throw blessings on people. All this worry and stress that we live. I can just think that God is just saying, there's so much more I could do with this individual, but they're so worried all the time. They're so stressed all the time. They're so full of regrets. And they got all this stuff inside. Stuff. Like our houses. Like we have a lot of stuff, right? Every time you move, you find out how much stuff you got. That's how we are. How many wants to go on a rapture? Amen. Do you know what's holding you back? Stuff. It's just a lot of stuff. That's not going. It can't go. And some of you have stopped. You're on the path. You're on the narrow way, but you're not going forward or backward. You're just sitting there. You're like, when the Lord's ready to move me, he'll pick me up. No, you have to find the gate. It's up to you to find it. Kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Violence taken by force. You've got to press in. So, don't sit there and wait for someone else to lift you. You've got to do your own lifting. Just embrace it. That's your journey. Just embrace it. Love it. So it's not just the important things, but all things. Can everyone say amen? Amen. In 1992, there was this 8-year-old kid, a boy who was a little different than all the other boys in his school. He didn't even get along with other kids. He had problems trusting other kids. They probably struggled with even trying to befriend him because he didn't know how to relate. In fact, the only thing he ended up doing was doing a lot of watercolor paintings, and he got really involved in his artwork. And through school, the people started realizing he's very, very gifted. It turns out that he got diagnosed with autism. He had Asperger's. And he ended up, even from the age of 8, realizing that people wanted to buy his artwork. He started selling decoupage and all these different pieces of artwork. And he based all this artwork on a garden that he had in his backyard that he loved as a kid growing up. And beautiful work. He ended up naming it, his name was, I think it was Ben Burke or something like that, but he named it Ben's Garden. And it's in New York City, of all places, in Brooklyn, New York. And he's done extremely well, a couple $1 million a year in business that he does. And he's just created this beautiful, beautiful place. It's a super cool story. But, you know, what a challenge to have in his life. What a thing that you would count as, that's a negative.
Right.
There was a time in this country and in the whole world where those kids were put off somewhere with everybody else considered mentally challenged or ill. And sadly, it wasn't the case at all. And he ended up being able, by God's grace, to prove that it was something else that was going on. You know, God used that. He maybe took away his ability to be the social star among his friends, or the person who walks into a room and lights up the whole room, to finding that there was a way to get the best out of him.
Hallelujah.
Unfortunately, had to strip everything else away, other things that we all count on. And I really feel like it's a real lesson with this guy, Ben, who's now, I'm sure, in his 20s or 30s or so. But, you know, the lesson is that you, all of us, have something amazing to contribute. But we fight God when he's stripping us, right? We're fighting him. We're think about Michelangelo's sculpture of Moses. Imagine if Moses says, "You just hit me, man," pops Michelangelo one. The sculpture can't be fighting with the sculptor. Like Paul says, why is the vessel fighting with the potter? The pot needs to just let the potter do his work. God is trying to bring out of you what he designed you for, your true blessing and gift to the world. You're struggling with because you don't like what he's stripping from you. You feel like, oh, I need all these things, right? We're back to the purse, right? Everything's in the purse. But God wants us to just embrace that. I think something's valuable, but Lord, what do you think? Because if it's just stuff, you can remove it. When are we going to get that free, right? Just remove it, Lord. Just go ahead. Look at how Jesus had to be. He had to put both arms out and just be stripped of everything to save us, to really save us from ourselves. Does that make sense? So in the original language, that passage in verse 28 that we read goes like this: "But we know that God works together," or in other words, God synergizes. It's the actual Greek word there, synergy. "For we know," and I don't know why they rearranged it, but they rearranged it. But in the original, the word God was there, and it's speaking of God when it says the one doing the synergy work is God. This is what we should all know well. No matter our weaknesses, our lack of knowledge, the struggle we have with praying correctly, wishing correctly, thinking, expecting, we're not going to get that right perfectly. We're going to learn as we go. But instead of working on our weaknesses, let's focus on what we have as a strength, what we know. We know that God is working all things together in a synergistic way. Good, bad, ugly, great, super, horrible. All of it, he's working, he's molding, he's doing it together. Praise the Lord. For what? Unto the good of those who love him. How many loves him? It's really in the perfect tense, meaning that for those loving God. I like that, don't you? You didn't love him one day, now you're okay. How many is currently loving God? Loving God, I'm loving God, I'm loving God. I love him every day. It's amazing. Every day I get to speak with God. I don't have to go to Jerusalem to meet with God. You know, I don't have to go to the church down the street on the corner in order to see that God is in there and just go meet with God. I don't have to go to confessional to meet with God. I get to meet with God every morning. I get to meet with God every night. And even when I'm sleeping, he's there watching me. Isn't that an amazing experience we get to have? I'm loving God. He's loving me. I'm loving him. Those loving God, to those being called ones. Sorry, let me read it again. To those being called ones, or to those who are called ones, is the actual language there. Called ones, according to his purpose. The calling in your life is a calling that's based on God's purpose. This word purpose is really cool, and I'm going to get to that in just a minute. So, but God synergizes and provides all things that it is so that it is well with us. God wants everything to be well with you. Every day it is well with you. What if it's a bad day? What if things are going south? Well, what's the difference between you and the Shunammite woman whose son died in the field? She laid him in the prophet's bedroom on his bed. He was still dead. She got on her mule. She rode out to the prophet. And the prophet said, "How are you doing? How are you?" And remember her response, "It is well." How can she say that? How can she say it is well? Because she was doing the right thing. She was in the right path. She was knowing that if God was instrumental in my life to include this prophet, to include this message, to include this truth, then this same God who gave us a baby when we couldn't have one can restore our baby. She just said, "It is well." I think that's amazing. It's amazing how Job can sit on an ash heap and say, "God, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." This is the way we live. This is what really stands out. Look, if something negative happens in your life and you're at work or around people and you're complaining about it, that's what they do. So you fit right in. I think sometimes we try to fit in. That's not the point. You just lost the opportunity to witness to someone about how great your God is. If they hear you say, "All is well, God is good, hallelujah, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord, I'm praising God," no matter what. If people see that, then they start saying, "I wish I had that." Because that's not how I'm going to react or how I do react. They know there's a difference. Can you say amen? And so this is why we lose that opportunity. But this is what God is trying to get us to. The purpose, the word purpose here means proposal, not as far as a wedding goes, but like somebody who presents a proposal at a business meeting trying to, you know, set up something. But it's stronger than that word. It means a pre-setting forth. It means to predetermine in advance, well in advance, in eternity, in fact. The Bible uses the term with this word purpose, God's eternal purpose. You know, God doesn't have a time set purpose, and God does not have a revocable purpose, meaning that if you do this, then he'll change it. God is not playing chess with you. He's not doing moves and counter moves. When he does this, you do that, so he has to do this. So, see, God already knows the end already. See, God has already purposed in his mind, in eternity, before he ever created anything, that you would be here today, and all the things you're going to go through in your life, he's already purposed it. According to his purpose. It is a resolute purpose. It is the foundational purpose upon which all other decisions are made. Do you realize that a lot of us, we go through life making decisions based on what happens to us? We play chess. If we come out to our car and it has a flat tire, we try to use the other car. I mean, we just move to the next thing. We have kind of several things we can do. Or if you don't have another car, well now we live in a day when you can just call Uber. You know, you don't even have to call them. You just put something in and boom, you have a ride. Hopefully it's a real Uber driver and not a fake person. But you get the story, right? You understand what I'm saying? We are playing that. That's how we live our spiritual life. I hope today's a good day. And a lot of times we don't even have options. We don't even know. But what the Bible is trying to teach us is that God called us on a higher purpose. Not on your purpose so much, but on his. God calls you on purpose. You are being called. You are a called one based on his eternal purpose. Praise the Lord. And so, therefore, we have to adjust our mindsets, our thinking, from just being reactionary in life to being proactive. That I'm already called into a purpose. I'm just following my calling. And negatives are going to happen and positives are going to happen. It doesn't really matter. All those things will happen to someone who is called. I'm not going to sit. I've got to move. I'm called. I'm doing something. I have a purpose. And it's a divine purpose. Can you say praise the Lord? So he goes on a little bit further, and we'll just read it real quick as we wrap this up. But in Romans 8, 29, 30, he says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Speaking of the resurrection, you're going to get a new body. Can you say amen? That's what that means. "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified." As far as God's concerned, you're already getting that new body, so you don't have to worry about it. Amen? It's already a done deal. God is synergizing all these things, all things, to result in your good. God is synergizing all these things. Think about this for just a minute. Salvation, that's working in. Sanctification, that's working in. Spirit filling, the Holy Spirit, that's working in. Can you say amen? God's blending in health and healing, that's going in there. Gifts and missions in your life. Deliverance, he's working all that. How about marital blessing and financial blessing and relationships? All kinds of things God is blending in, blending in, blending in. Don't think on the negatives. We have a weakness, a handicap. We don't know what's out there beyond our radar. We don't know. But 90% of the good that you want to experience in your life, you don't even know exists. And you don't need to know. Embrace your handicap. It's okay. I like the feeling of thinking today is Christmas and I can't wait to open my presents. It's going to be great. I don't know what's in it, but I'm excited. My handicap is I don't know what's in that box, but there's something in there, and I love the wrapping, and I love the ribbon. That's great, but I can't wait to rip all that off because I want to know what's in there. I can't wait to see. Unless you become as little children, you're going to struggle seeing really the value of the kingdom of heaven. I hope this makes sense. Why? Because all you need to know is God is behind the scenes synergizing, just putting it all together. He's got your whole path all worked out. It's beautiful. Let's say, Brother James, something happens to me and I'm gone tomorrow. That was my path. I'm okay with that. That was the plan of God. I'm all right with that. Maybe I live to 101 like Dan's, our sister, Donna's dad. You know, he just lived to 101. He was like, okay, I'm done now. I've done it. I hit 100. That should be good enough. Let me go, you know. I mean, that's a cool thing. I'm not going to get there tomorrow. I'm only halfway there. I got a ways to go. There's a lot of stuff God has planned in the path. And then listen to 2 Timothy 1:9. He says, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. And I'd like to add this in there, not according to our purposes and plans. But, it says, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God already planned and gave you everything you need for this journey before time began in Christ Jesus. That's outstanding. There's a quote in the message Shalom where Brother Branham is speaking about the orchestra and symphonies and music. This message called Shalom is really powerful because he deals with a lot of that. And he says, the rhythm is God. God is the word. The word is God. God's rhythm. God's rhythm, he says, is obeying his word. Then when you obey the word, he beats the rhythm right to you. Then you take your place. Wherever it goes down, 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 up, whatever it is, you know those junctions. Like if you're the pianist or the violinist or the flutist, you play your part. You have ups, downs, quiet times, loud. He says, sometimes you say, oh, the heartaches and the trials, right? We think about, oh boy, all those things we got to go through, those things we suffer. But he says, didn't God say all things work together for good to them that love him while I'm beating out my symphony? Sometimes you say, oh, he's beating me. You're the instrument, amen. And you find that then you're afflicted and struck down and persecuted, made fun of. Remember, that's the part that goes that way. That if that isn't like that, then the symphony is out of tune. What he's saying there is that's in the music score. You have to just go with it. It's got a crescendo. There's good things coming. Jesus was able to press on toward the cross because of the joy that he saw beyond the cross that was set before him. He just saw the cross was the way to get there. That's how he was able to, and you and I can carry our cross knowing there's so much joy that God has planned for us along the way. Amen? Brother Bram goes on, the great composer knows exactly what's in it, and he speaks about that, and he goes on through. It's very powerful. Another message called, Then Jesus Came and Called. He says, sometimes we wonder why those things happen, but doesn't the scripture say that all things work together for good to them that love God? He knows what he's doing. If he delays, that's all right. He knows what he's doing. There was a purpose. Jesus came and called. He goes on. He says, sometimes we wonder why those things happen. I just read that. That's cute. Praise the Lord. Sister Mita, basically, he's talking about a story where his wife had just given him a new Bible because his Bible was all worn out. And he had that new Bible, and it was in January in Phoenix, I think, or Arizona. He was preaching, and he got his new Bible. He got up. What happened, he said, was he had forgotten his sermon. Somehow he left it in the hotel and he rushed out to the meeting and he had forgotten it. So he was already frustrated. He admits this. This is really powerful stuff. That would be pretty frustrating, saints. You forget your sermon, you know. But he forgot it. He didn't have it with him and he was already frustrated. But he at least had the Bible. And then he at least remembered the scripture. So he got up and he just says, turn to the scripture, and he couldn't find it in his own Bible. You remember the story? Couldn't find it. He's already, you know how one frustration leads to the next one? So he's in front of everyone now going, it's not in my Bible. He says to the brother, hey, do you have it in yours? He says, yeah, it's in mine. He goes, it's not in mine. I just got this brand new Bible. It's from my wife. He's talking about, I can't, what it is, a brand new Bible, those pages are so paper thin, they stick together, and you can't even tell it's two pages. That's what, he didn't know what was going on. So, but he says that all of a sudden, one of the ministers sitting behind him was a Catholic priest. And I guess he might have been just joining the charismatic movement or something, but the Catholic priest got up and walked up to him. And this is the part of the story. You've all heard the story, I think, but this is the part. The Catholic Church hands him his Bible in the page, with the page. And Brother Bam tells a little bit. He says his name was Bishop Stanley. He said he walked up close to my side and he said, hold steady, brother. God is maybe going to do something. And he said, that just encouraged me to think he would say that. He said, I always wondered, does he realize he's prophesying? And this story we've all heard about the amazing connection that had, because God wanted to spell out something. And he brings it up later and some of the other messages that he preaches, but basically it comes out of Luke chapter 4 where Jesus went into the synagogue and it says the priest handed him the scroll of Isaiah and he found where it was written. Isn't that amazing? Like, how do you put all that together? See, God has orchestrated everything in our life and we just get so frustrated. It's not working out the way we want it to, but it's working out the way he wants it to. Why did I leave that CD home with the music on there? Why did I do that? Because God had an amazing way to unfold this to demonstrate, look, I'm in your life, I'm involved, I'm helping you, and I want to do things bigger and better than you can imagine ever doing it. You're smart, but you're not that smart. That's what God is telling us. You're smart, but you're just not that smart. Hallelujah. Now, there was a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. You might have heard his story, and we're going to close on this, but he was a man who wrote a lot of Christian hymns. He had a family, had four daughters. He had a son that was born, and I think he was excited about a son, and his son died at the age of two. Right after that, there was the Chicago fire. And he had owned property. He was a successful lawyer who had invested his excess money in property, buildings. And unfortunately, the Chicago fire burned down all his buildings, destroyed his property. He became ruined financially. There was also a setback right after that because the finances of Chicago went downhill too, and he lost even more money. He was going on the verging on destitution, and it was a big struggle. But they had already planned a trip to Europe, and so he had planned to get his family, go to Europe, take a break, get away from here, and they had already planned this trip, but there were some zoning issues regarding his property. It might have been tied to the insurance, if he had any, but it was definitely tied to the city of Chicago. And because of those zoning issues that he needed to deal with, he had to remain behind. So he canceled his part, sent his wife and his four daughters off on the trip to Europe. You all know the story. When that ship was getting close to Europe, it had an accident with another ship, and it sunk so fast, they could only save a few people. His four daughters all died. They all drowned. Only his wife made it. If you remember the very famous telegram that she sent back, saved alone. What a heartbreak. He's already gone through losing his son. He's lost all his business. Now he's lost his four daughters. And by God's grace, his wife was still alive. So after meeting his grieving wife, he went there to Europe and picked her up, and they were taking the ship back. She pointed out the area where their four daughters went down and the other people drowned. And he got so inspired as they were passing over the spot that he started penning the music, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my soul. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." Can you say amen? Let's have the musicians come. I want us to sing that song. And I want you to think about what this guy went through and how he realized everything in my life, the good, the bad, it doesn't matter. I am a child of God. I'm in his plan. I'm in his purpose. I have a purpose. I'm part of him. He's got it all spelled out. He knows what he's doing. Listen, saints, let me tell you something. If that Chicago fire hadn't happened, if that trip hadn't happened, if he didn't lose his kids, if any of those pieces didn't happen, we would never have the value of a song that's probably saved hundreds or even thousands of souls. Just the music alone can bring people to an altar and save their soul. Another man wrote the music to the words. But let's just sing it from our hearts. How many has experienced a lot of bad? How many has experienced some negatives in your life? How many has got challenges right now that you're facing? Sing this as though you're the one that just lost four daughters, lost all your finances. Sing this from your heart. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well, think about it, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. With my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Aren't you glad of this? It is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. Yes, it is well. It is well with my soul. Listen to this. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. What'll happen? Oh, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Let's stand. It is well. Sing it from your heart. It is well. Amen. Oh, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Father, as we bow our heads and think about the grace and the mercy and the divine and eternal purpose that's unfolding in our lives, as we walk along the narrow path, as we enter through the straight gate, oh Lord, yes, it causes us to groan within ourselves, but what is it, Lord, but the Spirit of the living God groaning with inexpressible words, hard to articulate on a human level, but you hear that because it's discerning the very true will and purpose of God. Lord, we're so grateful to you that you have planned our lives so well, and you're working this out together, a synergy of all the good, all the bad, all the great things, Lord, all coming together to form something outstanding within us, Lord. We know. On the other hand, Lord, we know that you are working everything for our good. Thank you, Father. We trust it. We embrace it. We're happy. We're excited. We're joy-filled in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I wanted to share that with you this morning because that's the way I live. That's the way I want you to live. Just embrace it. All is well. That Lineal Yount song, do you know that one? What's the title? Is that the title? Yes. We have heard the message, shalom, all is well. There is perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. There's a story in the Bible. There's a story in the Bible of Elisha and her son. The woman found favor with God, and he gave her a son. But while working in a field, the little boy had died, but the woman's faith never failed. Even in death, she testified that all is well. From your heart, sing it to him. All is well. All is well. We have heard the message, shalom, and all is well. Amen. Oh, there is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. Now things have not worked out like God's people thought. For we're here, and we're still fighting the greatest battle ever fought. We must have the faith of Abe. Knowing God's word never fails. If we'll trust in him, we'll find that all is... How many trust him? You trust him. Amen. Oh, all is well. Yes, all is well. We have heard the message, Shalom. All is well. And there is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. Is all well with you? How many can say it with me? All is well. All is working out. It's all working out for my best. Amen. We'd like to have a meeting with parents of 12-year-olds to 15, 12 to 15. And if you're here, want to meet with you after the service, my wife and I, we're going to talk to you for just a few minutes. So it'll be in about 5 minutes or so. So we can take a little bit of a break. Praise the Lord. Father, we just ask you to go with us as we go. May we greet one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God. We accept everything you have planned for us for your name's sake. Amen. God bless you till we meet again. Hallelujah.